Basically all it is. Yeah, and cold plunges.
Yeah.
All right. Here we are. Yo, everybody. This is the Mind Body Marathon podcast, and we are live at the Victor Hostel in downtown Cleveland.
Are we live? Live?
Yeah.
So just to get our corporate names right, it's the Victor. They actually don't like the word hostel.
Boom. All right. So yeah, sorry, Victor.
I slip up all the time. Yeah. It's Host Pros is the actual housing company, and then the awesome. New name is the Victor. So
shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out. Well, it's pretty sweet, whatever it is. And on the show today, we have Kenny Sullivan co-hosting with me, and then none other than Colby Alexander and Johnny Gregor. So yeah, so we're here right before the day of the 2025 Guardian Mile. And the race is this afternoon. And are either of you guys racing?
We are not. No. We're going to be on the cart.
On the cart. Yeah, you guys are going to be doing commentary, right?
We're going to do the commentary.
Going
exactly.
to try my best.
Yeah.
And so you have officially retired, eh?
Officially. Yeah.
So that's about that.
Yeah.
Did it with a bang, right?
It went. Is it?
No, nope, okay. We're all good.
Okay, we're good. Yeah. I don't know. It's been in my back of the head for a while, and John, who's actually coaching me,
we're a dream team.
Past year, things are going really well, and then we were kind of ramping up training, and I just kind of got hurt again, and I'm like, I'll just stop now.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying. Like, you did it with perfect timing, right?
With the baby.
Yeah. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So, baby boy was born last week. So, yeah, you know, I haven't really slept much. You know, I'm usually like super sharp and witty, you know, on these podcasts, but I feel
you
like I'm great. Half asleep. So.
You were using all your energy on Mario Kart.
I was. Yeah, I just got the new Switch just, last week. Perfect timing. So,
yeah, start them young.
Got the baby on the chest.
Yeah.
And just playing a little Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Nothing better.
So, John, are you racing right now?
No. I also am retired.
You also are retired.
Yes. All I right. retired in January.
Okay. That I did not know.
Yeah. And so I'm also just excited to be here cheering, commentating, enjoying it.
How is it on the other side of things?
It's fun. It's interesting. I was just out at the U.S. Track Championships, so spectating that for the first time. As well, and you still get a little bit like nervous before the race goes off, and watching your friends and competitors still out there doing it. But it's nice to, you know, we give it our best when we had the chance. So
probably almost more nervous, I would imagine.
Yeah,
it's
weird
how that works.
Yeah, totally. You get there's not quite that release when the gun goes off. You're kind of like, oh my gosh, nervous the whole time during the race, you know.
Yeah. So, all right. So you guys will be on the court, on the cart commentary.
We'll be on the back of the truck. Yeah. I'll be holding the camera and maybe John will be giving some good commentary and I'll chime in here.
Yeah. No, it'll be, we'll tag team it nicely. And there's for a few years there, Colby was on the truck and I'd be on the race and he would just kind of be staring at me the whole time. And
would he try to make you laugh?
I kind of liked it. It was kind of cool. I would just chase after him.
Dream team, man.
I'd be giving him cues. Go now.
Yeah. Colby would be my cue man. So it'll be interesting if we can find someone else to give cues to. But yeah, it'll be fun to tag team.
Maybe Brandon.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, maybe.
We were already talking strategy.
Yeah, we were.
So walk me through the year you set the record here. What year was that?
Oh man,
I'm 2022. Sure.
2022. Thank you, Kenny. Yeah. Yes.
And that was about 3:46.
That was 3:46, and that was kind of a perfect storm of a race because actually Colby was in that race and he took it out really hard.
That was like a little bit of a nightmare outdoor season for me. I was just like, I was injured constantly, and I couldn't like I kept pulling my hamstrings, so I couldn't do anything fast. Wasn't fit. But obviously, I'm still going to run the Guardian Mile, and I'm just like, I'll just go for the halfway.
And Colby, had a signature racing style of pushing it, going out to the front, Prefontaine style, and he did that exact thing on the hill, halfway through the race, and he pushed it really well up the hill, and then Ben Blankenship took over from there, and he started pushing, and chased both of them like at separate points, and it was like almost this perfect. Kept building. We kept picking it up the whole way. We came through the half. Uphill half at like
155. That's the prime record. Hill.
Is that the fastest?
Yeah.
I think 2 years in a row, the halfway split was, I think 21 and 22, the halfway split was 155 for the guys.
Those both might have been you.
Totally. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because the first couple years when like Nick Willis was in there, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how to run the course.
Yeah.
So we would go out in like, what, like 210?
Right.
It was the first year, I think it was like 208 at the half. Yeah.
So
it was a ridiculous negative.
We didn't know like that. It doesn't really matter how hard you run that first half.
Yeah.
Because you have that whole second half of then the free momentum, like that downhill.
Yeah.
And so you could take it out as hard as you want.
You can be pretty gassed halfway and get it all back. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Is it a net drop?
Yes. So it is 4 meters downhill for the whole course.
Okay. Not much.
It's 3 meters per kilometer. It's not much at all. I don't know the breakdown on how uphill the first half is versus how downhill the second half is, but it's not downhill for the whole race.
It really is like that second quarter where it's a pretty steep uphill.
Yeah,
that second quarter. It's like a gradual first quarter.
Yeah, because even on the starting line, you don't really notice it all that much. Yeah. And then when you're kind of right on that second quarter, you do notice it. Yeah. Like even just visually.
And they repaved the road in the last like 2 years.
That's a good point. It would be interesting to remember when exactly that repaving was done and if that corresponded to the two really fast years. I feel like the footing just since we started has gotten a lot better.
There were potholes you had to dodge and everything. Yeah. Then this building wasn't here, this big apartment building wasn't here. And from this
vantage point,
you could see the city and stuff, but not anymore.
Yeah. So what makes this race special for you guys?
I love Cleveland. So Colby always talked up Cleveland. And when he mentioned
Colby's like the ultimate Cleveland ambassador for sure.
He really is. He really is. And so when this race came together, I was psyched to get out here and check it out. And I love the city and everyone comes out. Everyone really, appreciates a good sporting event here.
Yeah. Do you like the crowd support?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The community support's great. It's so much fun. And, just even the way the race is run, kind of like you get that full, like it's always somehow like a beautiful night, knock on wood. And then there's like the skyline there and then you just finish right by the stadium.
Yeah.
And it's just pretty idyllic all around.
It's interesting how, especially for the elite races.
Yeah.
And especially for the last race, I don't know who's going last this year. Is it the women?
It's still men's.
Men. Yeah. Okay, so the men's side, there's like nobody at the starting line, and you're standing there, like, what?
That's what I was just about to ask. What is it like throughout the whole course, like with fanfare? Is it pretty dead at the start, it feels a little?
Yeah. It's great how it builds and how you once you get to that halfway, you crest that hill, you can see the finish line half mile away. And it's kind of deceiving, but you can also see the crowd.
I always hated that with road races when you see the finish line so far away.
Yeah. So you can see the crowd formed there though, and it gets louder and louder, and then the finish line's awesome. The crowd's great. So
So what's your like guys is usually like game plan when you're coming in for the kick? Is that just basically waiting for the final quarter, or is it just kind of like testing the waters with everybody around you and just kind of hanging on somebody's shoulders for a slingshot or what?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that I think that the people don't appreciate the fact that the downhill is like you're not really going to like tie up too much as long as you have a little something left. You can like really sprint for a lot longer than you think. So I'm usually like at 1200 meters, I'm like pretty much sprinting all out. And then, but then I like my big marker is like the two statues right before. I'm giving away all the secrets here. But the statues that when you go past the actual guardians, and that's probably 150 meters to go.
Okay.
Or something.
Well, that's good to know.
There's like the statues, and then there's the point. If you look at the side, like barriers of the bridge, like the walls, there's a point where those end.
Okay.
And I feel like that's probably like 100 spot.
Yeah. Right in that range of like basically when I would pass those statues, that was when I'd be like completely wide open.
Yeah.
And you can really sustain it for a while because you're just getting pushed down a hill. So,
That was
kind of how I approached it. Colby liked to sprint the first half up the giant hill.
Yeah. I would like to kind of gas myself the first half, and then I have like one more move left, and I usually go too early, and I get fourth. So But yeah, oh, it's funny. It's just like any other track race, really. Yeah. The last person to go usually wins.
Yes,
you want to be as patient as possible. I mean, last year you won.
Yeah, I don't know how
there
that
was
happened.
Like,
I don't know that anyone knows how that happened.
I think I entered some sort of space-time vortex.
It was crazy. It was like from here to the camera.
Yeah.
And you were still in fourth place.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the camera's the finish line.
Yeah, took a good hard couple steps.
I don't know. So I looked down giant and looked steps. Up, and I was like, oh, Donnie, dang it, you're gonna win four in a row. And then I looked up, and you won. I'm like,
yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
So on the truck last year, it's interesting you mentioned 1200 because I feel like every year, that's where somebody starts. And last year, yeah. I think it was Mark Mann who is unattached and one of the other assistant coaches at Ed's. And that was always I'm very happy that I'm not doing the elite commentary this year. I think I'm just very underqualified. Two, like, it's hard to stay objective.
Yeah.
So like 2 years ago, Ryan Adams, who I've known since he was in high school, like he had a huge move. And it's, you know, you're trying to balance like, all right, I want to be across the board neutral, but also like, come on, Ryan, let's go. And then last year, like same thing, Mark made a really big move at 1200 and like, Johnny was just kind of lurking, and I can't even remember like when I saw him pop out from Pioneer. Like just when I saw him, I was like, he's gonna somehow do this again.
Like, what were you thinking? How, like, but, were you just like really waiting to the last second, or were you just like, I don't know, and then maybe?
Honestly, I was pretty like tired at that point, and I was, or even in the season, the course of the year, and going into the race, I was like, all right, I can, you know, I want to pull out one last good Guardian mile here, and even throughout the race itself, I was like halfway through it, I was like, oh my gosh, all right, just try to stay close, just try to stay in contact, and that's all I just done saying was like, stay within like contact of the leaders, and then even with like 200 to go. I was thinking like, oh my gosh, maybe top three is good too. Maybe the podium's good too. Then with like 50 meters to go, I was like, oh wait, I think I can get him. And then I got him. It was crazy.
Did you notice the bad headwind last year? Like, was that something that was in your mind?
I was happy about it. Okay. Especially because I was not in like
super fast shape.
I just had to do it off of like just I had to grind
it out. That's a good idea. Yeah.
So the headwind I knew would slow everyone down just enough to make it more of a kicker's race.
Polar opposite of the year. Yeah. You ran 3:46.
Tailwind.
And then last year was like a hurricane wind.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was.
So Johnny, what all went into your retirement? You know, what all went into that mindset and the final decision?
Yeah. I just felt like it was the right time. I think and I'm sure Colby felt similarly. You feel like you gave it what you had, and that, you know, time comes for us all. You got to make the most of the time that you do have. And then I could tell that I was ready to move on to the next thing, really.
Yeah. What is the next thing? Are you still coaching at all, or are you just going into – because you're a lawyer, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have my final year of law school, so I do a little coaching on the side for fun. Eventually I'd like to be in the sports running athletic world somehow.
Plug your Jet Athletics.
I do have my coaching company. It's called Jet Athletics Club.
All right. There you go.
And it's pretty fun. Yeah.
He's a good coach. He's a really good coach.
Oh, thanks, Colby.
I was going to make that team.
That's all right. That's all right.
Great branding.
Yeah.
Great brand name.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I know I hadn't been on your Instagram in a while, and then I went on and I saw the Johnny G thing with the track, and I was like, "That's a sweet little logo right there."
Yeah. So my friend Scott Allison is a great illustrator, and he has done all of that logo stuff for me. So shout out Scott.
Now, Colby, what do you do now? Other than being a dad,
I'm a drug dealer now.
Yeah.
I'm a certified drug dealer.
I'm a certified drug dealer. Yeah, I'm working in.
Do we need to edit that?
No.
No, I
don't know what the ratings on this podcast are.
No, I'm work.
It's technically appropriate.
I work for a pharmacy, so I'm like a kind of a sales guy for a pharmacy.
I totally missed the joke.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing now. It's good. It's definitely a lot different than running professionally. But
are you keeping a foot in the door with running in terms of like doing it personally or coaching what?
It's actually been really nice. Like for the first time in my life, not having to like think about running. And I run when I feel like it, and it's great. But I've kind of been running like every other day. I still like I don't feel like I'm fit, but I'm definitely not fit, but I still lock into like seven minute pace, yeah. 6:30 pace. And then I'm at the end of it, I'm like going to puke. I'll go. Yeah. Every other day I'll run for like 3 miles or so, but yeah, I still want to eventually run a marathon and do all those.
There's so many fun things in the sport that's left for you, but it's so funny too, talking about pacing, like, you know, I haven't been running at a high level for about 10 years. And still, if I go to the track and I get on 80s, I'm like, that's marathon pace. Yeah. Like, it just feels so natural. Like, your muscle memory is, like,
you
still
did it
there.
So long, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just interesting how that really never goes away. Right. Like, cardiovascularly, it's harder.
Yeah.
But mechanically, you're like, this is home.
Exactly.
Like, this feels new, like, natural.
And
it's
everybody
cool.
has, like, their kind of perfect, you know, stride or whatever, that like their pace that they kind of lock into automatically. And
like, we could definitely go to the track and run some 56 second 400s.
I was gonna say no, seriously though, like, we,
you guys could
go warm up a mile. We could probably,
I definitely could not right now.
We could probably cut off some
60s. Maybe
there's only one way to find out.
No, you could
find out.
You definitely could, because like, I a couple weeks ago, like, not having done track work at all for like darn near a decade, I went out and ran a 59 in the adult track night.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
What kind of shoes were you wearing?
Alpha Flies.
Okay. Cool.
You got to go with the tight now. I mean,
Sweet.
Yeah, for sure. Nice. I mean, I run, you put them on and like, and you're not in shape and you run and fast on them. And that's when you notice, you're like, this is 100% a cheater shoe.
It's
like,
crazy.
It's definitely.
It's crazy. Yeah. But that's something also to bring up, is the first couple of years, the super shoes weren't really a thing.
Yeah.
So, what are the rules with that on the road? Is there any rules?
I don't think so.
Not at least for ones that are for sale, right?
Yeah.
Now. I think that there's like prototypes you can't wear.
Right.
But
there's a stack height. There is a stack height.
Yeah.
In order to be sold, the stack height has to
has
be, like,
to be
approved.
Yeah.
Well, Adidas has these.
Oh, they have ones you can't wear.
That are, they would be illegal for.
Oh,
the,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do have some for sale, especially in Europe. They have some ones that are different.
Okay. Blanking on the name of them, but
There's some rogue ones out there. But for the major ones, you can still wear them and it's fine.
Yeah.
But I know, like, in high school and stuff, you can't wear them.
Right.
Yeah.
On the track.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a rule change, I think, just in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But.
All right, well, we're kind of rounding third on the episode with you two, and then we'll get a couple other bodies over here to talk about some running stuff. So any final little tidbits you want to throw out there, you guys?
No, just thanks for having us on here. We're excited to be a part of another great event.
The Jets stole home.
Yeah.
Well, I think it'll be almost more fun for you guys this year.
Yes.
Just,
yeah, it'll be
just
fun.
Hooting
and
hollering on the cart and just having a great time.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. It was always good. Hopefully, you won't get a headwind this year. But
no, it should be fine.
Yeah,
it's looking pretty good out there.
Yeah.
A little steamy, but that's it.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Awesome. Thanks guys for being on the episode here. Appreciate it. All right. So here we go, everybody. This is round two of the Mind Body Marathon podcast here for the Guardian Mile, the day of the 2025 Guardian Mile. And we're at the Victor. And on this second segment, we still have Kenny with us. So Ken Sullivan. And we got Brendan Kidder. And Karina, say your last name.
Fuyun.
How cool. And all right, so you guys, this is the first time for both of you guys, right?
Yeah.
Second time.
Okay, so when did you run it last?
2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that the really fast year, one of the faster years?
No. I think we had the wind from the wrong direction that day. But to me, it was very fast still.
Yeah.
So it was one of my best races, I think, in my entire career.
Oh,
so,
that's awesome to hear. So hopefully you can reproduce that today.
Yeah, I'm coming off of a very long injury, so this is actually my season opener. So I have no idea what lays ahead for me today.
Sometimes that's the best, though. You know, like, sometimes that's just so fun to just not have any expectations and just go out and compete.
Yeah.
Especially on a road mile, which is, like, you know, a lot less sterile than the track, and it's a little bit more dynamic. And
absolutely, yeah, that was the, like, thinking behind signing up here.
So what'd you think of the first half of the course heading into the second half with the hill and everything?
It was great. Our year, an Ethiopian took it out real fast. And she, the rest of us kind of hung back and kind of just, like, slowly, like, chipped away at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was actually good. I feel like the hill went by quicker than I thought. And before I know it, I was heading into the downhill and could see the finish line.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, where are you training these days? You're with Mammoth, correct?
Yeah, I'm with Mammoth Track Club up in Mammoth Lakes, California.
Yeah. And in the quarter months, where do you guys go? Do you guys stay there?
Yeah, it depends.
Or do you go down to San Diego still?
We've gone down to San Diego 1 year. We, in the Olympic trials year, we went to Florida.
Okay.
Our marathoners needed to go train in that environment in the humidity and stuff. I am from South Africa, so I actually might stay in South Africa a little bit during the colder months this year. Yeah, just I feel like the rest of the world all travels to South Africa in like December, and so I always feel funny leaving that time. So yeah, I might play around with it a little
bit. Now, what part of South Africa?
I'm just outside of Johannesburg.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Cool. So how is Dina and Andrew doing? Are they doing good?
They're doing great. Yeah.
They have to be so fun to be around constantly.
It is. Yeah. Just inspiring and just to listen to their stories and, you know, the things they've done and the people they've met through the years.
I ran for Malone and my college coach was really good friends with Joe Vigil. Rest in peace. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. That's awesome.
Yes. We would go to Mammoth. For 7 years straight, I think they went to Mammoth, and I went 6 of those years and just trained for like 2 months in the summer. And we would run with them. Like literally we'd do runs, and you know, Dina would do her plyos every day at the park, and is it Shady Park or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy just thinking about all those days, and it was so fun. Yeah. Yeah. Green Church Road and doing summer their tempo months, runs down there.
Yeah. Summer months in Mammoth is magical.
Yeah, definitely. So Brennan, where are you training right now? You're in Seattle, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been in Seattle since January of 2017.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So what part of Seattle?
I live in North Seattle, almost the shoreline, actually. Yeah. So like kind of the north suburbs outside of the city proper.
So what do you do in the winter months? Do you stay there or do you?
Yeah, we actually do altitude camps in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay.
So we'll do maybe 1, 5, 6 week camp, either January or February. So that's, we'll get a break from the winter, but the winter really is pretty mild in Seattle.
I always wondered why people go to Albuquerque. Do you like it there?
Yeah, so
I'm not trying to hate on it, but like I've been a couple times for like when they had US Indoors there and stuff, but like, and I go and I'm like, I know like that's where like Paula Radcliffe will go and she kind of made it like famous, but
I'll give you the brief deal.
Yeah, let's do it.
On Albuquerque. So first of all, it grows on you. And secondly, the convention center and like the downtown where you experience when you're there for a meet is kind of the worst part about it.
Okay.
So we typically stay as high as we can, so like east towards the Sandias. And we'll stay like above 6,500, like maybe 6,700 feet, and it's kind of nicer up in the foothills.
Yeah.
And the other advantage is like most altitude locations in the U.S. get a lot of snow, a lot of wind, a lot of like weather at that time of year. Mm-hmm. Albuquerque very rarely gets snow, and if it does, it's like gone the same day.
I had the weirdest experience. One of the interviews that I worked, rode the gondola all the way up to the top of the Sandias.
That's basically where we stay, like by the tram.
So it's amazing. So you do that, and then there were people on the gondola, like with ski outfits and skis and stuff. I'm like, what are they doing? There's like literally no snow here. It was so weird. And then you get to the top, and it's like 100% different on the other side of the mountain.
Yeah, it's crazy. You look over, and it's like green, and there's like forest and snowy. And
it's so weird. Like on one half of the mountain that gets most of the sun exposure, it's just rocks and dirt. And then on the other half, it's snow and people ski. It's crazy.
Yeah. So we go over there for the weather and the relative difference. You know, stay at 67 and then like drive 15 minutes to 5,000.
Drop down. Yeah, that's
like
nice.
A pretty big advantage. You know, again, like a lot of the altitude locations, it's like a pretty big drive to get to 5,000.
All right.
So it's good. It's good for training.
You've given me the best sales pitch here.
you just lock in, you know, there's very zero distractions.
Well, that is a good point. It's like, it's one of those things where you just have to make whatever you're doing home. Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like being a Razorback, you just go to Arkansas, you just do it. Like, it's like, you don't think that's not a great place to train per se, but you just do it. You just, you know, like lock in and that's your home. You just can't kind of make it whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's an important concept. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of the advantages of going to a camp too. It's like, you're kind of out of your comfort zone. It's a constant reminder, like you're here to work. You're living out of a suitcase. You don't have any of the comforts at home. So it's a good place to just go for 5 weeks and focus up. Maybe not sustainable long-term, but
yeah,
for a camp, it's not too bad.
I was recalling on the way here, I was like thinking about it. I was like, oh my God, I think he was on the same team, USA versus Europe. So we were talking about that earlier. So in 2019, Brennan and I were both on the USA, they called it the match, right? Yep. USA versus Europe, which Europe ended up winning that meet, which was so dumb. And it was in Belarus, which was the most random place on earth to go. Minsk, Belarus. I think we were actually some of the first Westerners to actually go into Minsk.
I remember being a big novelty.
Like, now you can't go.
Yeah.
It's like you just
locked down.
Yeah.
There were, you know, Belarusian kids taking photos with us because we were Americans. Like, yeah. They hadn't seen an American before.
It was so different. Like, some people were like really mad about it. And some of the bus stops and the casino that was right there, they were really pissed about it. Like, it wouldn't serve you and like give you the cold shoulder. And some of the people were like super interested and like really intrigued.
For sure.
But it was like everything you think. They all like wore gray and it was just very drab. Such a weird place.
Like an Iron Curtain movie or something like that.
Yeah. Very strange.
So walk me through kind of like the last couple of years of your career and kind of how you felt about things and how you're feeling about today.
Yeah. The last couple of years, especially, have kind of gone well. I kind of had a rocky like 2020 and 23. I had a couple of knee surgeries and like finally found some consistency and some health. So training's been going really well. Feeling fit, and just kind of the summer is the most fun part of the season, yeah. Really. Like, you've gotten through USAs and it's gone, like, you've either made the team or haven't, and the pressure's kind of off. So it's kind of fun to do meets like this where you're not concerned about getting a time to qualify you for something. Yeah. Just get to go out there and race and like have some fun, and then I'll race again in 5-6 days, and then again in 3 days. Like, things that you wouldn't do in spring,
yeah,
where everything's got to be like perfectly like weeks out and we're gonna like travel and make everything like as ideal as possible. Now it's just like you get to have some fun and just race.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's the way these kind of road miles and a lot of these like USA meets are set up, it's like it's almost like organized like a lot of the European track meets and yeah, stuff in terms of timing and everything, but it's a different little motif and style, and I think it's pretty cool. And if I was in your guys' shoes, I think it'd be pretty fun to do.
Yeah, I like just the different aspect, and also just, you know, I haven't actually ran this before, but just like talking about the community being out here is like, that's a novel to like long track meet, or, you know, maybe you don't have the most fandom. Yeah. It's like, it's cool to just get the community involved and they're racing too, right? So it's like, I don't know, it's kind of cool to be a part of that. Versus,
I know, I was telling them earlier, I have my, I'm running it as well. And then I'm having my 3-year-old daughter run it too. And very it's cool. Just like, be at the first line, just cheering you guys on. Yeah. And it's just that's how it goes. Like, the majority of people actually did the race and just ready to go for a good show.
Exactly. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So how are you today? Pretty good? You feeling fit this time of year?
Yeah, feeling fit. Feeling pretty good coming off of USA's. I think USA's being so late makes these late season races feel a little better, you know. We're a little closer to our peak rather than just kind of like hanging on to fitness. So yeah, feeling pretty good about today.
So Karina, moving forward, so some of the meets after this, what are you thinking about?
Well, since this is my season opener, you know, I have a blank slate ahead of me. I'm actually trying to figure out what all is out there and what's up next.
Yeah.
I'll be racing in Falmouth next weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's quite a different experience.
I'll do the mile.
Okay. Okay. Mile, not the seven.
I'll go have fun on the seven.
Were you headed to Europe at all?
It's kind of hard. Visa situations for me. It takes months, so I probably won't be able to make it work out logistically.
Yeah.
So unless there's really something that's like, you know, in September or something that I could go do. But no, I'll probably try to look like local, maybe try to do some road 5Ks and stuff. And there's a big road running season in October in South Africa, so I might travel home for just a big stint of road racing.
Karina, was it 2 years ago that you qualified for Worlds after running Guardian, I think?
Yeah. It was one of my top five ranking point races.
So. The Guardian Mile is one of the only road races that is on the World Athletics calendar, and that was the first year, I think there's six. And it's, you know, it's tiered where we're a category F race. And so there's the performance score and then the meter competition score. Yeah. And you don't get a whole lot of extra bonus points, like for the competition score compared to like a Diamond League meet or even like a lot of the track races like Sir Walter. But if the course is fast enough, sometimes the competition score alone, or the performance score alone, I should say, can be impactful enough. And that was, you know, it was, 2023 was the first year that World Athletics allowed that for road miles. And so we were like, hey, let's, you know, this is not like cost prohibitive. Let's do this and see how it goes. And I remember Karina's coach actually emailed us in advance and just kind of asking for clarification and like walking through what sort of time, you know, would be needed. And it was honestly like a little bit of pressure to be like, all right, so we did this and we hope that people would come for this sanctioning, but somebody that has a chance to qualify for Worlds actually is going to come now. And I really hope it's not like a 10 mile an hour headwind or something like that. Like she doesn't make Worlds because of the Guardian Mile. So it was really cool to see, you know, you come and have a great experience, but then also get the sort of performance that you wanted to kind of stay where you were in the world rankings that year. So
yeah, the world rankings are challenging, you know, having to have 5 races that go well, that count towards your ranking points and stuff. And there's limited races out there that you, you know, you're either not the world record holder, so you can't get into whatever gold labeled meet or something. So it's really challenging to try to like accumulate as many points as you can. And yeah, that year I was the last person in to make it to Budapest. It was fantastic.
So was that for the 15?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. So awesome. The mile counts for the 15. Yeah.
That is so cool. So how was your experience in Budapest?
It was so much fun. It was amazing. Yeah. definitely worth
it. Yeah. Doing. Yeah. I heard that was a good meet too. I always wanted to get, you mentioned the race schedule in South Africa. I always wanted to go there and race Comrades.
That's our world famous ultra.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. My dad's done it a couple times.
Has he?
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Which way should I do it? Up or down?
It depends, I think, on your preference, but I've heard up is easier on the body.
Okay.
You know, you think down sounds funner to send 90 kilometers downhill, but I think it's very hard on the knees.
Yeah.
So from what I've heard.
It's, I think, the oldest running ultra in the world, right?
I would believe that. Yeah.
And they just were doing it as training for the Comrades, right? That's pretty much how they did it. For the soldiers and things like that. That's kind of the origin of it.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
That was training.
Yeah.
And then one of the years you run it up and then you turn around the next year and you come back down.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they do. So how far is it? Like 50, you said 90 kilometers?
I think 90 kilometers. Yeah.
Okay.
90.
That's cool.
I think it's between 90, 92.
Yeah.
It kind of differs every year if they have to go around this section on the highway or ditch this bridge or something like that. But yeah, no, it's, yeah. Big deal in South Africa. I feel like in the US, people, you know, the average person asks you what's your mile time. If you tell them you're a runner in South Africa, it's like, have you done the Comrades?
Yeah. that's like Boston here.
Runner. Yeah.
Like so many times, like when I first got out of college, I would work at a running shoe store and then people would find out I never ran Boston or never ran a marathon. And they're like, they talk down to you like they're some elite. And you're like, what the heck? Like,
yeah. Dina had a story like that where, they wouldn't stop asking her if she's done, I don't know if it was like Chicago or Boston or whatever, until she did.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you have an Olympic medal? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Like, you haven't done a marathon.
Yeah, you're not a real marathoner.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we're kind of rounding third in the episode here. So any final thoughts from you guys about today or the season or the race or anything?
Yeah, really just excited to be racing on Ohio soil again. I'm from Ohio.
At Lancaster.
Yeah, from Lancaster.
What year did you graduate?
2012. So, been a little while. And I think the last time I've raced in Ohio soil was 2016.
Oh, my gosh.
Like Big Tens. So
it's crazy.
It's been a long time.
Big Tens? Holy cow.
Yeah, so excited to be back racing on Ohio soil.
Oh, man, you got to show up today, dude.
I'm feeling the pressure.
Oh,
IO, that's right. But also, we are Penn State.
Yeah. You guys are going
to
be solid this year, though.
Yeah,
very, very good team they have this year, coming into next year. But excited to race in front of an Ohio crowd.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts from you?
I'm very grateful to be running.
Yeah.
Period. And then, so this is just a very exciting, like, what could happen and where can we take the season from here? So.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for being on the show and taking the time, and good luck today on the race. And this will drop on Monday, so the race will be over, obviously. But, you know, it's always good to chat with you guys beforehand. And once again, thanks for coming to the Guardian Mile.
For sure. Yeah. Thanks for having
us. And as Karina said, come to the Guardian Mile and you will be the last qualifier for the World Championship.
Boom. There you go.
No promises.
Nice little clip. No promises. All right. Thanks, everybody. Till another week.
Dr. Leo here.
Be sure to check out my new book, Faster Without Fail, Your Guide to Overcoming Injuries and Running Faster Than Ever. It is now available on Amazon. You could read reviews on the Amazon. You can check out what other people have said about it. But basically, if you want to revolutionize your running form and better understand how to stay injury-free within the sport, this is your guide. Feel free to reach out and let us know what you think of the book. I would love to hear your feedback. But again, please check it out on Amazon. Faster Without Fail. Appreciate it. Dr. Leo here. If you want to catch me in another setting, be sure to check out my YouTube page, Running Rehab, where you will find exercises on how to stay healthy with running, how to improve your running form, and a bunch of other tips and tricks on how to get over common injuries. So again, Running Rehab.